Happy Sunday, everybody. That is the piano playing of Bob Mamet. Bob Mamet, the younger brother of famous playwright David Mamet, who will be playing Tuesday night at 8 at the Jazz Showcase. Go to bobmamet.com. You'll hear a lot more from him. That's from his CD, London House Blues. I'm Rick Kogan. This show is called After Hours, and it's my pleasure to have as my first guest my beyond a capable producer, Elif Garis, who has started. When did we start this, Elif? When did we start the Elif on the Road? Or what are we calling this anyway? Do you remember?
Elif Around Town.
Elif Around Town. We started it a few weeks ago.
We started it, I think our last one was 2 months ago.
That long?
Yeah.
I went to the Music Institute of Chicago and did a lovely, fine report about that great place. And the gist of your adventures is going to places that you don't know much about. I know about the Music Institute of Chicago, and I certainly know about the place you went to report on tonight. That would be called what?
Ravinia Festival.
You had never been to Ravinia Festival. Explain to me how that's possible. You're from a music-loving family.
Yes.
Your mom is a very talented musician. Why do you figure it's like one of those things? There are many things that Chicagoans, for some reason, just never have on their radar. They never go to certain places. I know people who've never been to the Hancock Building. There are a lot of people, for a lot of sad reasons, who've never seen the Chicago River or the lakefront. How come you never went to Ravinia? How do you figure?
Like you said, it wasn't on my radar, and I don't know exactly what. Well, one of the reasons could be that I don't have a car of my own, and by the time that I really got interested and really got into the Chicago music scene, all of my friends who were really into music like me were away in different states at college, so I wasn't doing a whole lot of research beyond the city.
Right. So stuff that was easily accessible. You didn't know, for instance, that there's a very, very nice train that can take you to Ravinia and drop. Where does it drop you? You must have seen it when you were out there.
So it drops you off right at the gate, and the stop is Ravinia Park. That's the name of the stop.
Right.
So it's so easy to get to. And one of the terms that Pedro de Jesus gave to the Ravinia Festival, and by the way, Pedro is the manager of press and social media there, he called it a destination. And the train is only one of the reasons why I think he referred to it as that. It's just easy to get to, and we actually drove there.
Who'd you go with?
I went with my mom.
Had she been there?
She had been there once, but she and her friend just kind of went on a whim, and they ended up going, and there was a movie playing, and she thought it was going to be a live play. I think it was West Side Story.
And she went to see the movie.
Yeah.
A movie at Ravinia. All right. I know you have a full-blown report. You want to play that in the second segment of this one, do you think?
Yeah, that works. I think so.
Okay. So you went out there, and what did you think when you first saw the place? I am saying this from the perspective of someone who's been there literally hundreds of times. What did you think?
I went into it with an open mind. So when I got there, the first thing you see is you walk in and you just see these arches. And it's kind of like Six Flags. You know, you walk, it's like those big white gates, not gaudy like the ones at Six Flags.
No, it's not gaudy, yeah.
So you walk through a number of different levels, I guess, or layers, because it was an amusement park at first in 1904.
Right.
Yes, when it opened. And I just loved it so much. It was so beautiful, and it really is an adventurous place.
One of the things, as opposed to walking into the gates at a place like Great America, is you really did you and your mom not get the real feeling that, hey, man, we're out in nature here. I know there are a bunch of buildings, and I know there are a bunch of, you know, sort of the food part of it and the whole thing, but you really do, don't you, get the feeling you're out in a beautiful park?
Yes, because those buildings aren't overwhelming. It's not, you know, it's not like...
There's no giant roller coaster, for instance, yeah.
No roller coaster anymore. But, it's... The lawn is huge, first of all, and the way that... There's a path in between the lawn and the pavilion. Yeah. So it's kind of like a U shape or... A horseshoe shape around the lawn.
Tell people how it, for those people, maybe there's some people out there who've never been to Ravinia, tell them how it differs from Millennium Park. The Pritzker Pavilion in Millennium Park has a lawn too, mm-hmm. separate from the pavilion, but it's vastly different. That was built for a specific venue, the lawn at Pritzker Pavilion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ravinia just seemed to come about naturally.
Yes. There's definitely a feeling of I'm in nature. It's not when I go to Millennium Park for movies at the park, for instance, I know that I'm in the city and
there are joys to that, too. There's no question there are joys to Millennium
right.
Park.
Right. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's just so much more modern and too many people sometimes, irrelevant, but too many people sometimes, and the lawn, it's kind of, it's not really, the landscape of it doesn't really compensate for people who can't, who aren't right in front of the stage.
Yeah, I think the other thing about the lawn at Millennium Park, it is sort of in that sort of concave way, it is meant to have people focused dead inside the stage, whereas at Ravinia, there are a million places on the lawn where you don't even get a glimpse of a pavilion, right?
Right.
You might as well be out in the park listening to some beautiful concert. You don't even know where it's coming from, right?
Right, but there's something special about that, which happens to be in the engineering of the speakers system. And Nick Puglia, the manager of communication.
The legendary Nick Puglia.
He is one of the nicest people, by the way, side note. He explained to me that the way that the speakers are built and wired is that when the music, I'm trying to describe it the way that he described it now, the music hits the speaker, or the, so if I'm sitting in the lawn listening to it, I'm hearing the sound as the sound waves hit the speaker, so or as the sound waves would hit the people, the ears of the people in the pavilion.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
It makes great sense. It makes great sense. That's what makes it this sort of, that's similar to, it's such a vastly different thing to sit in a seat and watch the concert and lie on your back, you know, with a bottle of champagne to your mouth and listen to the concert. It's different. It's not a watching experience. But I think the listening experience is equally exciting, don't you?
Yes.
What'd your mom think?
Oh, she loved it. She thought it was so romantic.
She'll tell if you have the greatest job in the world. This is unbelievable.
Actually, you're going to hear that in the
your
report
mom's in
that
the
I
clip?
Put together. Yes, she's in it.
Was this fun for you to go out there and explore? I know it was fun for you to get to know the Music Institute of Chicago. And now this is number two in Elephant on the Town. This one must have been a little more so because they're just... The other thing about Ravinia is there's so many people there. And most of them, frankly, have always been... Most of the people who go to Ravinia seem to be like the nicest people in the world.
Yes. Another thing I observed was that while I was recording an interview with Nick outside... Four or five, maybe six different people from different parties or different groups of people said, "Hey, Nick Puglia, hey."
He's famous, like being with Brad Pitt or something.
Yes.
The other thing about it, I'm sure you noticed. We'll talk about it after the break. Piano with Bob Mamet from his London House Blues CD. Bob and a couple other talented musicians will be playing Tuesday night at Jazz Showcase, which to my mind is the best jazz club in the United States. You can go to Bob Mamet, that's Bob, M-A-M-E-T, .com. Elif Garis is my guest this first half hour. It's Elif on the Town, her second visit, her second report. Comes from the Ravinia Festival, that magnificent, magnificent outdoor music venue that she visited. Now, you, one of the things you're doing in these reports is giving me a package, aren't you?
Yes.
What's the package? You want to set it up?
Sure. So you're going to hear a few different voices. You'll hear Nick Pelea. Again, he's the manager of communication there. You'll hear Pedro de Jesus. He's the manager of press and social media. Ali Sabor. He's the Ravinia. He's Ravinia's head chef. And then you'll hear my mom and me.
Fantastic. All right, this Brett. Let's hear it.
What brings you to Ravinia tonight?
I love Ravinia. My grandmother loved Ravinia, and I used to come here as a little girl. And then I'm from Indianapolis. She brought me here every time I come for a summer vacation. This was her place.
I'm with Nick Pelea. He's the manager of communication at Ravinia Festival.
We want you to feel magic. We want you to realize that there's a special alchemy going on between the music and the environment. We value the lawn very much. As I mentioned earlier, it is the brand. If you ask people to describe Ravinia, they're going to give you phrases that say music under the stars or wine and cheese picnic. These are descriptions that describe the lawn. If you just wanted to hear the music, you can buy a CD and hear a pristine copy with no train and no cicada. When you hear behind you the sound, you probably hear these cicadas that they're humming because they're actually very attracted to the orchestra. They think the orchestra is one big insect that's calling out to a mating call like you never heard before.
People on the lawn muster up and they enjoy themselves. It's part of the adventure to experience the rain. Rain and festivals go hand in hand. It rained all during Woodstock.
And why'd you choose the lawn?
Because we just kind of decided to come a couple weeks ago and there weren't that many pavilion seats available. And we like the lawn. We've been out here before.
You
and
still
rain
have-
or shine. We like, you know.
We yeah. had a nice big umbrella, and, you know, we just really enjoyed the music. It was exquisite.
And what kind of food did you bring?
Chocolate.
Some chocolate-covered almonds.
And chocolate cake.
Yummy.
I hope once you become very comfortable with the brand of Ravinia, you develop a brand loyalty, and you'll maybe try something you may not normally try. So you might be somebody who's trying bluegrass for the first time or trying classical for the first time. It's very important to us to expand the audience for classical especially. Remember, it's always somebody's first time hearing Beethoven's Fifth. And it's always somebody's last time hearing Beethoven's Fifth.
Why did you pick Ravinia as your place to make your mark with food?
I like Ravinia because we get to match great music with great food. We always say we're kind of a sideshow to the great music that happens here.
I'm with Ali Sabor. He's the chef at Ravinia Festival.
We have so many different aspects of food service. We have like a la carte restaurants, which is Parkview. We have our chef table restaurant. We also have the market, which is kind of our broad area where a lot of the guests can come in and experience different types of cuisine. So down there we have fun things like our tacos, which are super popular this year. Those we brought on last year, so it's kind of different. I try to bring in some of my background as far as like growing up in California, bringing in like Mexican food and things like that. Restaurants kind of concentrate on Mediterranean food and also things that are more approachable. We try not to make it too complicated. And our chef table restaurant, which is probably my favorite because that's where we get to be really creative. We do Asian food, Mediterranean. We always have a fun barbecue table, which we smoke all of our own meats for in-house. It's probably one of my other favorite types of food to do is barbecue.
And now I hear that you have a garden.
We have an herb garden.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, just kind of try to have something in-house that's fun to go out there and take a few minutes to relax and pick some herbs. It's kind of a way to calm down after all the chaos.
And I'm joined by my mom tonight at Ravinia Festival.
I was just watching TV and it was a morning program. at the end of the show, they usually have singers or some music segments. So that was Chris Botti. It was about 6-7 years ago. Anytime I hear his music, I go, oh, that's good, wonderful. And Elif told me, we have a program here for the Ravinia Festival, so would you like to just come with me? One of them is Chris Botti and Joshua Bell.
Thank
of course you. I'll be there with you.
That's
so here great. I am.
The last time that I saw Barbara Streisand, the last time was just this week, but the time before that,
yes.
Chris Botti was her act. When she needed to take a break and go get a drink, he would come out and play the trumpet while she was on break. So that's the level he's at.
Not only do you get the Ravinia experience, 5 hours of in a beautiful park, having a picnic with family, looking at our sculptures, looking at the beautiful nature, hearing this wonderful music, you also get that family bond, and that's a cultural bond. You have an opportunity for a very low ticket price to introduce your kids to classical music. And you can do it in a way where you're not taking them into an intimidating concert hall. You can come and go as you want, and you can dress the way you want, and you can eat what you want, and you can leave when you want. You know, it's the place to be.
Let me get that recording, because I think I just wrote a new bio for the website. That was really well said.
Elif, that's great. You really do get a sense. Good job. You get a sense of the excitement at Ravinia. I mean, the sounds and everything is perfect, and those guys were great. Who was playing that night?
Joshua Bell and Chris Botti.
Who are they?
Chris Botti is a saxophonist, and Joshua Bell is a violinist. Both very famous, and I love them.
Well, you really got the sense. Now, you're hooked on Ravinia. I mean, this is going, we're getting to the end of summer here, but I would assume that you will be going to Ravinia with some consistency for the rest of your life.
Yes, and I actually just, while I was putting together this package, as you called it, mm-hmm. I texted my mom and I said, hey, I really want to go to Ravinia again soon before summer ends, because I can't accept that summer is already ending.
What did she say?
And she said, yes, please.
Yes, please. Let's call Nick and get some food.
That's
and
what she said.
She said, call that guy Nick. He's so nice. He'll give us tickets to Ravinia.
Yes.
You can understand, even at your tender age, the unbelievable draw of that place. And I have to assume, I wasn't there for this show, but most crowds are all ages. You know, it may skew a little older than you, because almost everybody's older than you except little kids. But it's a pretty well mixed, don't you think, age-wise?
Yes, I noticed it was mostly, there was a pretty wide range. There were people who are in their late 30s. There were people who were much older, maybe in their 70s, 80s. But I did notice a few girls, a couple girls who looked a lot younger than me, maybe like 19.
Well, you know, it also depends. I mean, one of the things that Ravinia has done over the years, when I used to go there for the first few times, they had acts such as Janis Joplin and Bob Dylan, and it got a little raucous up there. So for many years, they stopped having those type of acts. But now they have a wonderful, wonderful mix of rock, pop, classical.
Yes, and I actually wanted to ask Nick about the mix of the schedule per year and how it's put together. And he mentioned that, well, it's 50-50 classical and non-classical.
Right.
So it's, he said it's pretty evenly split down the middle. Wells Kaufman, their president and CEO.
And a very good guy.
I saw his picture. He looks like a really nice guy.
Yes, he does.
He puts together the schedule by accommodating the CSO schedule.
Sure, no question.
So first he's got to figure out when they're available for them, and then he puts all the rest of the puzzle.
I think Wells, I don't know how long Wells has been there. It's got to be a decade or so. But he's done, one of the things he's done, he will literally be able, he will say to himself, who do I want to see? Who haven't I seen for a long time? And then he'll go after them and try to get those acts. And Wells is, you know, 40-ish, 40-something. And so you do get that younger skewing thing. And it's a good thing. Even kids go there when they're younger. They may be drawn to the place because of the venue. And it's kind of one of those places. Let me know what you think. if your mom called and said, hey, I'm free Thursday night, let's go to Ravinia, you might say, well, who's playing? And you might also say, who cares?
Exactly. Exactly. That's one of the biggest takeaways from this report that I would like to tell you about is that Nick referred to some of the concert goers as cultural omnivores. So it's not only the artists or the music that they're there for. It's for the atmosphere. And you heard it in that clip,
Absolutely.
That it's people come to surround themselves with the sound of the cicadas just to be away from the urban environment.
And whatever, you know, whatever demanding jobs they have and their crazy kids screaming and all that stuff. What's your next report going to be?
I've been thinking about doing another music venue.
Sure. Which one?
I'm really interested in the Empty Bottle.
Okay. You can do that.
Or the Hideout. But we're thinking about it still.
Hey, you should do the Hideout. You ever been to the Hideout?
I've been once.
Okay. You should do the Hideout.
Okay.
The Hideout is a fascinating, fascinating, fascinating venue. And I may be doing a show there sometime in November.
Okay. Well,
so don't
I'll be
cover
there.
My show. Don't cover my show. But I'm not saying it's a different kind of show. I might be with a great performer named Michael Miles doing something. Well, Elif, another great, great report. What can I tell you?
Thank you. Thank you for letting me do it.
You're a great producer, but one day you and Fiona Kogan will have your own show, something like that. Okay?
Okay, awesome.
All right, we got to take a short little break, then I'll come back and get you to the news.